following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be having...
This is a Lucas Football Europe production, where entertainment is always free.
And now, it's time for the Broken Sea Audio Production, OTR Swag Cast.
Welcome back to the Swag Cast. This is Bill Holwig. And tonight on the Swagcast, part two of
Theater 5.
Hope you enjoy.
Theater 5 presents The Time, the Place, and the Death.
Hello, darling.
Why, Henry. How nice to see you. And on a Tuesday. Oh, this is a happy surprise.
Well, I trust I'm not causing you any inconvenience, Irene, by dropping in unexpectedly like this.
I'm quite alone, Henry.
Good, good. I have some sensational, some marvelous news for you, my dear.
Oh, but wait. Not another word until I've mixed you a drink. Your usual?
Oh, thank you.
Sit down, Henry.
Thank you.
What's that you have in your hand?
The Ace of Spades.
Oh, and you've been to another gypsy fortune.
Yes, a most extraordinary and satisfying experience.
And amusing, I'd say, from that smile you can't quite conceal.
My dear Irene, have you ever wondered where and under what circumstances you will die?
Henry, what a funny question.
Well, my dear, I don't intend to be funny.
Oh, you know what I mean. Here's your drink.
Thank you.
After all, nobody really thinks about his own death. I certainly don't. I'd rather know as little as possible about my future.
I see. Well, to your health, my dear.
And to yours.
Thank you. Irene.
Yes, dear?
I'm going to die.
Henry, you paid some gypsy to tell you that, and I would have told you for nothing. Everybody dies eventually.
No. I mean that I'm going to die sometime in the very near future. This card, Irene, this Ace of Spades, is my proof.
Oh, let me see it. Mm-hmm. Looks like any other Ace of Spades.
But this exact card turned up three times this afternoon, following a sequence of other cards, which also was revealed three times. It's a fact, Irene. I'm going to die very soon.
Oh, my poor, poor Henry.
Oh, sympathy. You fail to comprehend, Irene. As a matter of fact, it took me a while to get used to it. But now, don't you see, I've never been happier.
How could you possibly be happy?
Because I've never been able to face the future blindly. I've always sought oracular advice. I'm happy that I know my death will be soon, Irene. Now I must also know the details.
The details? Henry, you're giving me the shudders. But if you want to be absolutely certain of just how you'll die... Why don't you commit suicide?
Oh, my dear, what an absurd suggestion.
Well, then pay someone to do the job.
Irene.
Oh, frankly, dear, I think you should forget the whole thing. Would you like another drink?
No, thank you very much. Oh. I'd better be going.
If only I could believe this, Henry, that you actually know the future.
Oh, in time, you'll see for yourself. Here, take this check, my dear.
Why, Henry.
It should be sufficient to buy an attractive dress, which you must wear to my funeral.
You're so generous. But I do hope that card, that Ace of Spades, is a mistake.
And I'm so happy to know that it's not. Good afternoon, Irene.
Good afternoon, Henry.
Who's that?
What's going on out here? What's happening?
Oh, dear. Miss Chippendale! Miss Chippendale! Are you all right, sir? Here, are you all right, sir? Well, come here quick and bring some water. Your friend had an accident.
Come on.
Oh, please, sir. Please, it's all my fault. I should have fixed that step. Please, sir. Are you all right?
Is he dead, Rudy?
I don't think so.
He told me something like this would happen. Not 2 minutes ago, he told me. Here, this water from my vase of flowers.
His eyes are open. Here, now sit up, sir. Sit up here. There we go.
Oh, Henry, are you all right?
Irene.
Yes, dear.
Have I died?
Thank goodness, no, Henry.
Oh, but how close you came, sir. The way you landed, your head must have missed that knob there on the banister. An inch or two closer and... Well, who knows?
You see, Henry, that ace of spades was wrong after all.
I don't think it was.
It's that fourth step from the landing. When the weather is damp and it warps, the edge sticks out a little like, you know. Some other people have tripped on that step.
Then why haven't you fixed it, Rudy? You're the janitor.
Well, I tried, Miss Chippendale, but the lumber yard was out of the right kind of wood. And no one's been hurt, though, until today. I don't know why that step was worse for you, sir, than...
Well, I believe I know. I think I'll be able to stand up now.
Right, here. Take my arm.
Yeah. Thank you. My dear Irene, you have no idea of the amount of work this has saved me.
Work? What are you talking about, Henry?
I know everything now. I know the place and the circumstance.
You do?
Yes. I'm going to die as a result of that fault in the stairway.
Really, Henry?
Oh, don't you see? Fate has given me a warning, Irene. The rest is up to me. I must now fix the date and arrange the details for afterwards. Having escaped death once under such miraculous conditions, I'll never escape a second time. Imagine just an inch or two from that knob.
Well, the lumber yard said they were getting a shipment in next week. Then I can fix this, Debbie.
Well, if you do, my good man, you'll have to answer to me.
Aye?
Good afternoon.
But it's impossible, Henry. Nobody can foretell the future, except perhaps the weatherman, and you know how accurate he is. Take my advice and forget all about it. It's your shot.
Oh, thanks. I've received a warning, Joseph, which I believe I'm in a very enviable position. I'm now able to arrange a suitable date for my death. It can be any day upon which I decide, and the appointment must be kept.
Good shot, Henry.
Tomorrow? No, tomorrow's too soon. Next Sunday. Yes, the day will be Sunday. Perfect. Then they can bury me on Wednesday.
Another good shot.
Then it's definite, Joseph. Sunday. Nothing will deter me from my fate next Sunday. Joseph, just think. This might be the last time I shall see you.
The last? Oh, no, Henry. I don't believe it.
Unless you can be at Irene's next Sunday when I pay my farewell call.
Well,
in fact, Joseph, I'd like you to be there at, shall we say, 5:30. I'll descend the stairs to my death at 5:52. Fives and twos always have been benevolent numbers for me.
Yes. I'll be there, my dear Henry.
And on Wednesday, of course, you'll attend my funeral.
Of course, and I'll mourn for you deeply.
Oh, splendid, thank you. The funeral will be at 3:00.
3:00? Oh, but Henry, that's the afternoon they'll be judging the terriers at the Westminster, and I've registered both Tristan and Isolde. I'm dreadfully sorry, but I just can't attend the funeral.
Well, I'm sorry too, Joseph, but... dear. At least I can expect you to be at our inns on Sunday.
On Sunday? Yes, Henry. Yes, I'll be there.
Good evening, Irene.
Oh, Joseph, it's so late.
May I come in?
Of course, dear. Oh, my darling, Joseph.
Oh, Irene. Oh, my love.
I'm so very glad to see you.
Irene, I just left Henry. He thinks he's going to die.
I know all about it. Another one of his fortune tellers.
No, but he's going to make all the arrangements. He actually believes it.
It's possible, you know. I've heard of stranger things.
But, darling,
hold me, Joseph. Hold me closer.
Yes. Like this. Now, listen to me, Irene. When Henry dies, he will leave all his money to you.
How do you know?
He told me that he's having his will drawn up. He's very sentimental, and you have been a faithful friend.
Hmm?
When he dies, you'll be a rich woman, Irene.
When he dies? You mean if he dies?
Irene, he will die.
You sure?
I need his money as much as you do. I'm going to make sure.
Joseph!
Why should that shock you? How often have we discussed how we might get our hands on his money? And now? Now's the perfect time.
But how?
Simple, my dear. And absolutely safe for us.
It would have to be.
Don't worry. You see, Henry will make all the arrangements, all the preparations. And then?
Yes?
And then, on the day he has planned for his death, we will kill him.
How?
Poison. He will come here to descend those stairs. We will have a drink, a final, sad farewell drink. His will be well laced with arsenic.
But the police will know.
That his drink was poisoned? Good. That's what we want.
Hmm?
Because he will have made all those preparations, they will decide that he committed suicide. There'll be no way for them to know otherwise. What do you think now?
I think, my darling, that you and I both will someday soon be very, very wealthy.
Yes, sir. Is there some way I can help you, or would you rather look around?
No, I wish to order one of these.
Oh, yes, sir. Is there any special kind of wood you desire?
If only I knew what kind of wood that stairway is made of, it might be rather suitable. Oh, dear, it might warp. I desire mahogany.
Mahogany, that. Just write that down. And the trimming, sir?
No, silver.
Oh, yes, sir. Now, one thing more, the size.
My size, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but have you lost a twin brother, perhaps?
No, I was an only son. I want a first-class funeral.
Oh, very well. £1,000 certainly will take care of everything.
Excellent. I'll make you out a check for the amount right now.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, sir. Just a deposit would be sufficient. You can mail the balance to us later.
Oh, but I won't be able to later. You see, the coffin and the services are for myself.
Oh, yourself. Mm-hmm. That's quite a joke, yes.
No, I'm not joking. I'm dying on Sunday. I want to be buried next Wednesday.
Oh, I do believe you're serious, sir.
I assure you I am.
Oh, forgive me.
Oh, I quite understand.
But what a shame that the world will lose a man of your integrity. You pay for your own funeral while most people let their relatives and friends spend the money. You're a truly great man.
Oh, thank you, and good day.
Yes, you'll be given a magnificent send-off. Goodbye, sir, and good luck.
It's almost 6 o'clock, Irene. He should be here any moment.
I know, and he's never late.
Here's the capsule with the arsenic.
Looks so harmless, doesn't it?
When you're making him his usual drink, just break this with your fingernail right here, look, and pour all of the contents into his glass. There's enough here to fell an ox.
Such a literal thing.
Oh, think of tomorrow, darling. Think of all his money.
It's all I've thought of for years. Oh, there he is.
Then quick, put this next to the liquor bottle.
Yes. How's this?
Good. He'll never notice. Now, answer the door.
Oh, good afternoon, Addie.
Hello, Henry. Come in, my dear.
Thank you. Oh, Joseph, I'm so pleased that you could arrange to be here.
Hello, Henry.
Oh, sit down, dear.
Thank you.
Shall I make your usual drink, Henry?
Thank you.
No?
No, thank you.
But Henry, a farewell drink.
No, I want all my senses sharp. The moment I anticipate comes only once in every lifetime, and I want to be able to savor it fully.
But surely only one drink. Just think of what you're doing to me. I'll be so lonely when you're... You're gone.
Oh, dear, my dear. Irene, you won't have a thing to worry about except for a few small endowments. I've arranged for you to inherit everything.
That's very generous of you, Henry.
And as for being lonely, I'm sure Joseph would be pleased to see that you're occupied.
Why, yes, of course.
Now, aren't you feeling better, dear?
Yes, much.
Yeah.
But, Henry, there is one thing more before you go. One last favor to me.
Oh, name it, my dear.
A drink, Henry. I want us to have a last sad drink together. You needn't have enough to spoil your day.
There isn't time. It's now 5:49. I've never been late for an appointment in my life, and I have only 3 more minutes. I must go.
Henry, let me pour it for you. Just a few quick swallows.
Thank you again for your hospitality, Irene.
Henry, please.
And Joseph, thank you for the many games of billiards and for the fine friendship all these years. You'll be sure to send me a spray of orchids on Wednesday.
Henry, I insist that you have a drink with us.
Now, I'd like you both to remain here. You might, if you don't mind, prepare this divan to receive my body when the janitor brings it up. Well, my dear friend...
Henry, wait!
Goodbye, Irene. I trust you'll enjoy my money.
Come back here!
Henry, don't go ahead with this farce. Come in here and have a drink.
Farewell, Joseph.
Henry!
He's gone.
I know.
Well, what are we going to do now? All that money, it's going downstairs with him.
Suppose just by some chance, it really happens the way Henry thinks it will.
You mean the fortune teller could be right after all?
Well, isn't it possible? They've given him an awful lot of accurate predictions.
Oh, Joseph, he's got to die.
Open the door. We'll listen.
Just a few more seconds, that's all. Oh, well, there's nothing to regret. I've lived my life to the fullest. Not every man can feel as satisfied and pleased as I am. They will say, those who knew me only slightly will say, poor Henry Perth Johnson, he came to such an untimely end. Oh, untimely indeed. Little will they know. Ah, yes, the landing. Yes, this is the flight. Yes. Yes, I can see that step. The fourth from the bottom. Now. Oh, it will be such a perfect funeral. And that cemetery plot, eternal beauty there. A perfect life, and now a perfect death. Next one. It's the next step. I'll close my eyes and step off into space. Goodbye. Goodbye, beautiful world. Oh, good heavens.
You made it okay.
You fixed that step.
Oh, no, I did not. I got the wound, but today's Sunday, and I don't work on Sunday.
Well, then the step is no longer warped.
It's just the same as the day you fell. But you were so careful today, even when you shut your eyes. You know, I stood right over there watching you. You didn't trip even a little. You went so carefully.
Carefully?
Henry. Henry.
You're all right. You're not dead.
Dead? No, Joseph.
Then nothing happened.
Oh, I saw images of my childhood. My whole past flashed before me.
But you're perfectly all
right.
Oh,
yes, yes, Joseph. It's been a most extraordinary experience. Irene, Joseph, it's quite clear to me, and it should be to you also.
What's that, Henry?
Today, this afternoon, just now, I escaped my own death.
That's true.
And now, don't you see? Now I shall live forever.
No.
Joseph.
Yes, Henry?
I'll now be able to meet you for billiards on Thursday, as usual.
Oh, yes.
Oh, janitor, that money I gave you to carry my body upstairs.
Oh, yes, sir.
Keep it and see that you fix that step properly.
Oh, too right, I will.
And Irene, my dear Irene.
Yes, Henry.
Now, I could do with one of your delightful drinks.
You could.
Really, Henry?
Oh, by all means, perhaps even a couple of drinks. Oh, come, my friends, upstairs.
Well, this certainly does call for a celebration, Henry.
From now on, every day will be a celebration, Joseph.
Here's your drink, Henry.
Oh, thank you. Irene.
Yes, dear?
There's something I must do first before anything else.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, I must telephone. I put my drink right down here. It won't take a moment. Excuse me.
But Henry, I'd like to propose a toast to you.
Well, then go right ahead, Joseph. It would be bad luck for me to drink my own toast.
But Henry...
Hello. Henry Perth Johnson here. Is this the funeral director? Oh, good. You're expecting my body in a short while. Well, I've decided to cancel all the arrangements.
Yes, that's right. No, I didn't die. I'm in the best of health. next week? No, my good man. Cancel it permanently. Thank you.
Henry.
Wait, Josie. Before you make a toast to me, I would like to propose one to both of you.
Irene, do something. It can't happen.
No, Henry.
Oh, well, what's the matter?
Yeah, give me that glass.
Yeah, I'll make a fresh drink for you, Henry.
I haven't touched this drink yet. A toast.
Give it to me, Henry, please.
Why? Is there something wrong with it?
No, it's just that I...
Oh, there's a strange smell to this drink. Reminiscent of gardens in summer, rose arbor. You recognize it. Arsenic.
Arsenic.
Arsenic, decidedly. Oh, surely you realize, Irene, that I cannot die now under any circumstances.
Yes, we realize.
Here you are, Henry, a fresh drink. And I'll take that glass. Thank you.
Henry, sweet, sweet Henry, will you ever be able to forgive us?
Forgive? Oh, I've already forgotten, my dear, to you, Irene, and to you, Joseph, my closest and my dearest friends.
Theater 5 has presented The Time, the Place, and the Death. Written by Peter Fernandez, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Paul McGrath, Ian Martin, Bryna Rayburn, and Elliot Reeves. Audio engineers Neil Pulse and Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking.
Morning, sir.
Lieutenant Holden. Oh, what are you doing here at this time of the morning?
Well, I'm sorry to wake you up, sir, but I think...
Come in, man. It's a bit too chilly to be talking in doorways. Now then, what did you say brought you here?
Well, I'm afraid this is an emergency, Colonel.
Lieutenant, if this is an emergency, get to the point right away.
Yes, sir. We found that they've launched another rocket and...
Now, come on, Holden. During the past 15 years, they've launched several thousand rockets. Did you wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to let me know they've launched another one?
No, sir, not exactly. The reason I woke you up is because... Well, this particular rocket is heading straight toward us.
Theater 5 presents Point of Impact.
Are you sure you haven't made a mistake somewhere?
Yes, sir, I am. Now, all our calculations show the rocket is headed straight toward us. And unless something alters its course, it'll probably hit within a radius of 5 to 10 miles from the base.
All right. I assume you have a car waiting?
Yes, sir.
Jim, what's happened?
You wait for me in the car, Lieutenant. I'll be out in a couple of minutes.
Jim, what's going on?
Nothing important, really. Go back to bed, dear. There's nothing to worry about.
But who was that?
Who was who?
Now, Jim, please, who was that you were talking to?
Lieutenant Holden. You must remember him. You met him at the Watsons a couple of times.
Jim, stop this nonsense. What did he want?
Nothing.
And where are you going?
To base operations. I have to check something. There seems to be a little problem, and Lieutenant Holden...
What sort of problem?
Oh, it's nothing important. I told you, it's just that these young kids, you know, they just get their gold bars and they...
What sort of problem?
Kathy, I already told you, nothing important.
Colonel, you're not talking to your 5-year-old son now. He might be easier to convince that the commanding officer of an air defense base is awakened at 3 a.m. Not by phone, but by a personal visit. For no reason.
Kathy, go back to sleep. Of course he had a reason for waking me up. But there is no cause for alarm. Lieutenant Holden is a bright young man, but he's also inexperienced, and he knows it. He could not afford to take a chance. He thinks we've got a problem on our hands, and rather than face it alone, he came to see me. I'm going to base operations to see what's going on, and I'll be back in half an hour. Have you called the president, Lieutenant?
No, sir, not yet. I thought I'd let you know first.
Good. Now, let me have it from the top. What do we know about the rocket?
Not much, sir. We believe it's one of their latest models, probably 1,000,000 pounds thrust.
That's more than enough for a nuclear head.
Well, now, we tracked it first from launch, and it seemed like a routine launch at first, but we kept an eye on it anyway. The tracking equipment showed a speed of roughly 17,800 miles an hour.
That's routine for orbiting a satellite, man.
Begging the colonel's pardon, sir, but that was several hours ago. There were 3 orbits of the Earth. I mean, the whole thing was first placed into an orbit of the Earth.
You mean rocket and all?
Yes, sir. Rocket and all. Now, the whole thing orbited 3 times, and then something happened which we can't explain so far. The rocket left the orbit, changed course, and began heading straight toward us.
And it's a manned spaceship.
Well, no, sir. We're sure of that. The radio tracking equipment reports no conversation. Now, we did track intense radio activity at launch and just before the rocket changed course, however.
Well, if this is meant to be a surprise attack, they would observe complete radio silence. Once the men got their orders, there wouldn't be any need for communications.
Well, we thought of that, sir. And we fed the radio data into the computer, but it showed no speech pattern. It's definitely not a manned spaceship. That change of course was accomplished by radio command.
What's the present speed of the rocket?
Well, that's another strange thing, sir. As soon as it left the orbit, the speed decreased to slightly less than 8,000 miles an hour. Then it increased again to over 8,000. Now, right now, it's close to 12,000 miles an hour.
Doesn't leave us much time, does it?
No, sir. If our calculations are correct, we'll be hit in just about 32 minutes from now.
Well, I guess no errors here. This particular bird is headed toward us. They've finally done it. But why? Why in the blazes now? And with no provocation. Why would they want to do a thing like that? Base operations, Colonel Brooks.
Good morning, sir. This is Sergeant Davis. Mrs. Brooks is right outside to see the Colonel. May I send
her? Yeah, I'll be right out. Kathy, how often have I told
you... Stop it. Do you hear? Just stop it. I know. You told me never to disturb you here.
And why did you?
Because something is terribly wrong, and I know it. And you know it. And because I want to know what's wrong.
Okay. You're right. Something is terribly wrong. Where's the boy?
Outside in the car, sleeping.
Oh, good. Now, Kathy, as soon as I'm through talking, I want you to get into the car. Is the tank full?
Almost.
Oh, fine. Now, get into the car and drive. And as soon as you hit the highway, push the gas pedal all the way down to the floor and don't take it off until you run out of gas.
It sounds frightening.
It was meant to be. Kathy, in less than half an hour, we're going to be hit by a rocket which we believe carries a nuclear warhead. Now, first we thought it might be a routine satellite launch or some deep space probe, but
Now we know better. The rocket is heading straight toward us. It'll hit within a couple of miles from here, and from what we know about the gentleman who launched it, we can assume that what it carries in its head is not a message of friendship.
What we know about the gentleman who launched that rocket. What do we know about them?
What are you talking about?
It's a simple question. What do we know about them? All we know is they can launch rockets, possibly reach another planet. But what do we know about them? Do we know how they think and feel?
Oh, Kathy, what are you asking me for? You know we don't have answers to any of those questions. We've been trying to communicate with them for years. They've tried to communicate with us for almost as many years, but we haven't been successful, and you know it.
Which they're bridging with a rocket carrying a nuclear head. Because we haven't been able to find some other bridge.
Kathy, darling, listen to me. You're losing precious time. Now get into the car and go. In half an hour, you should be far enough away to save yourself and the boy.
But can't you do something about it? Don't you have something to stop it?
No, no. All we can do is track it down and wait.
But surely there must be something.
Kathy, listen to me. Every minute counts. Get going.
And you, Jim, what will you do?
Pray, maybe. Just pray.
Mr. President, this is Colonel James Brooks, Commanding Officer, Air Defense Unit 205B.
Good morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
Mr. President, it's my duty to inform you that we're under attack.
How much time do we have?
Approximately 21 minutes, sir.
What are the details?
A rocket, which we have every reason to believe carries a nuclear head, is presently heading toward us. We calculated its speed at roughly 12,000 miles an hour. Which means that unless we've made an error, it'll hit in a little less than 21 minutes.
Hit where, Colonel?
The point of impact will probably be within a radius of 5 to 10 miles from our base, sir.
From your base? Where exactly are you located, Colonel?
91 miles north of Sedgwick and 76 miles west of the ocean, sir.
Well, that's strange.
Sir?
I said that's strange. Why would they want to hit an uninhabited area? How many men do you have there, Colonel?
4 officers, including myself, 18 enlisted men, and 12 dependents, sir.
Any special or unusual equipment?
No, sir. We're a radar observation unit of the type B, Mr. President. No defenses whatsoever.
Well, don't you agree with me it is strange? Why would they waste a nuclear bomb to destroy a radar observation unit and just a handful of people?
An error in calculations, perhaps?
I doubt it. You're several thousand miles from here. What I mean is, the logical thing to do is to start a surprise attack by hitting the nerve center of a nation, not a remote radar observation point. If they did make an error in calculation, it would place the point of impact within a few hundred miles from here, not a few thousand. Anyway, what are you doing about it at your end?
I am waiting for your orders, sir.
You have your orders, Colonel. You have my permission to put Plan B into action.
Plan B? B, sir?
Plan B, Colonel.
No retaliation, Mr. President?
No, Colonel. No retaliation. I'm praying that the rocket will hit far enough to spare all of you. But I am also praying that it's heading toward us as a result of an error. If we retaliate, it won't be an error.
But, Mr. President, may I point out to
you... Under my orders, Colonel... Let us both pray that the rocket's direction is the result of an error. That there will be no need for retaliation.
Yes, sir.
And, Colonel, I want you to keep me informed.
Yes, sir, I'll do that. For the next 18 minutes, anyway. Holden.
Yes, sir.
Put Plan B into effect.
Yes, sir. Plan B, sir?
That's right, Lieutenant. Second lieutenants are expendable, and it seems so are bird colonels.
Yes, sir. Oh, Colonel Brooks.
Yes?
Mrs. Brooks is waiting at the door, sir. She's been here for a while. She came while the colonel was talking to the president. Shall we let her in, sir?
Where's your wife, Holden?
I suppose on her way to the shelter by now. Everybody's been alerted, sir.
That's good. How many minutes?
10, sir. 9 minutes and 40 seconds, actually. About Mrs. Brooks, sir.
I'll go out and see her. Let me know at T-5, Holden.
Hello, Jim.
Kathy. Why?
It'll sound terribly corny, I know, but I just couldn't go. Not that I didn't try, mind you. I drove as far as the bridge, but then I saw the base lights in the rearview mirror, and somehow I knew I had to come back.
You never really listened to me, did you?
Oh, Jim, does that really matter now? Jim, are we going to die?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But more than likely, we are.
You want to know something? All my life, I was terrified at the mere thought of death, but right now, I'm not scared in the least.
Well, I am. Oh, don't misunderstand me. Not for myself, but for you and the boy. For all these kids.
I love you, Colonel Brooks. I love you because I believe you're the most wonderful person alive.
Colonel, T-5, sir.
Oh, thank you, Holden. I'll be right in. Kathy, go back to the boy. Where is he, anyway?
In the shelter with Mrs. Watson and her boys.
You go ahead and join them. And, Kathy, just one more thing. I love you, too.
Minus four, bogey in visual sight now. Speed steady at 11,850 miles an hour. T minus three, bogey continuing on a collision course. Speed unchanged. T minus two, bogey still on collision course. Speed steady at 11,850. Impact point 2 3/10 miles. T minus one. Bogey still on collision course. Speed steady. Correct impact point to 1 8/10 of a mile. T minus 30 seconds. Impact point 1 8/10 of a mile. T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's a dud.
Hold it. No one move until I say so. It may have a delayed action fuse. Mr. President, this is Colonel Brooks.
You're alive. Any casualties?
No, sir. It seems to be a dud. Either that or it's equipped with a delayed action fuse.
Delayed action? Sounds unlikely. Just a moment, Colonel. The Secretary of Defense is with me. Maybe he can throw some light on the subject. Colonel, the Secretary tells me there's no information that any of their nuclear heads are equipped with delayed action fuses.
Then it's a dud, sir. It hit less than 2 miles from the base. I'm heading right for the point of impact, and I'll report to you as soon as I'm back.
There it is. Can you see it, Colonel?
Right. Let's go.
Colonel, this is not a bomb.
What? Well, how in the devil can you tell? It's all in pieces.
Colonel, look.
Huh?
This is a lens. A movie or a TV camera lens.
Hey, you're right. This is a lens. This must be an exploratory probe from Earth to photograph our planet. Yeah. Made in USA.
What is USA?
I don't know, sir. It was probably one of the labs on Earth. Probably the lab that manufactured the lens.
Well, I'm sure we'll know soon enough. If they succeed in sending a camera all the way to Mars, I'm convinced we'll have a visitor from Earth pretty soon. Let's head back now. I must tell the president. Mr. President, this is Colonel Brooks again.
Yes, Colonel.
Sir, it wasn't a dud, and it wasn't a bomb. What it actually was is a camera, a movie or TV camera.
A camera?
Yes, sir. No doubt an exploratory probe from Earth to photograph Mars, probably to find out whether there's life on our planet.
Colonel Brooks, sir.
Can't it wait, ma'am?
No, sir, I'm afraid it can't.
Mr. President, just a moment, Mr.
Colonel,
President.
I would suggest you keep the line open. You may want to read this to the President right away.
Mr. President, here's a communication from Radar Central. An object originating from Earth is heading toward our planet. It's several times larger than the object which just landed.
Just a moment, Brooks. The entire council is assembled here and listening to your report. I want to make sure they understand. It is several times larger than the object which just landed. Go ahead.
A recording of radio communications between the unidentified craft and Earth, fed into a computer, indicates a definite speech pattern. Speed, 8,350 miles per hour. Probable point of impact, longitude 10634. Latitude 347.
We have only a few moments to decide
of object,
whether or not this is an attack, or whether or not we wish to retaliate.
937.
Whether to implement Plan A or Plan B.
Point of impact.
Whether or not to destroy the planet Earth.
Presented Point of Impact, written by Michael A. Hanu, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Joan Lovejoy, Robert Dryden, Ralph Camargo, Stan Watt, and Larry Robinson. Audio engineers Marty Folia and Neil Pulse. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins. I hope you will forgive the intrusion, and I hope that you have been enjoying Broken Sea Audio Productions' OTR Swagcast. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
great storm rages over Collinwood. All the elements of nature seem to be at war, clashing with monumental fury. Not far from the great house, there is one who has taken refuge from the storm, and unknowingly has found shelter in a place that is destined to be her tomb.
You can't go out in that.
But I have to.
You'd better wait inside until it lets up at least a little.
I was so sure that I'd have the time to get down here and make it back.
Well, perhaps it'll let up soon.
I don't think so. It's not that kind of a storm.
Well, you can't go out in it now. That's impossible.
But I've got to get back.
Well, if you're afraid that they'll worry, I'll send Willie over to let them know that you're all right.
Oh, no. No one should go out in a storm like that. Well, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to stay here for a little while. I'm very sorry.
Forgive me if I'm delighted.
You are kind.
Have you ever been in this house during a storm?
One like this.
This house was built for storms.
What do you mean?
This room is never more beautiful than when it's lit by lightning. Look. And the thunder echoing down the corridors.
Yes, I see.
It was for nights like this that this house was built.
I think I know what you mean.
Do you?
Yes. But what am I going to do if this storm doesn't stop?
You wait here, and I'll do my best to entertain you.
But I don't think you understand. I think this storm is going to last all night.
Well, if my company wearies you, you can always rest a while. Don't forget, Josette's room is ready at all times.
Yes, of course. Josette's room. Would you mind if I did stay in Josette's room?
Of course not.
Somehow the idea of spending the night in her room appeals to me.
Why?
I don't know. I've always felt a closeness to her.
I wonder why you do.
Well, I suppose it's because I don't know who my ancestors were. And I've always liked to imagine that she was one of them. I suppose that sounds very foolish to you.
Not at all. It's very easy for me to believe that you are descended from Josette.
Why do you say that?
Well, because you're so much like her in so many ways. Well, not only because of your beauty, but because of your intelligence, your warmth, your generosity.
You're very flattering.
Only truthful.
Sometimes when you talk about Josette, it's as if you knew her.
I know a great deal about her. I've taken the trouble to find out all I can. Because among my ancestors, I have always found Josette to be the most fascinating.
And may I ask you one thing, Mr. Collins?
Barnabas, please.
Barnabas.
What is it?
Once long ago, you told me about her death, how she threw herself from Widow's Hill.
Yes, I've always considered it the saddest of the family legends.
You described how she ran to the cliffs. Ran because someone was chasing her.
Yes.
Who was chasing her?
Her lover. The man who loved her more than anyone else in the world.
Do you know who he was?
Yes.
Who?
Jeremiah Collins.
Her husband?
Yes.
Her husband was chasing her?
According to the legend, yes.
But then he must have done something to frighten her, to make her feel so desperate.
Perhaps he did, intentionally or unintentionally.
But I thought he loved her.
The man who ran after Josette Collins that stormy night long ago loved her more than life itself.
And yet he was responsible for her death.
Well, he never intended for her to die, only to live.
I don't understand the kind of love that ends in death and destruction.
Perhaps Josette never understood him, or the extent of his love.
Well, I don't understand a love like that. If he loved her, well, then he wouldn't have frightened her.
Perhaps perhaps. But I can't defend everything he did. Nor could he.
Well, if you don't mind, I am a little tired. I think I'll go upstairs now.
Of course. Vicky.
Yes?
I...
What is it?
Well, the storm seems to have lessened somewhat.
Well, do you think so?
Well, I'm not sure.
Do you think I could make it back to Collingwood?
Possibly. I'd be delighted to accompany you if you wanted to go back. I leave it entirely in your hands.
Well, it sounds worse than ever to me.
Then you'd prefer to stay?
I think so. If it would be no inconvenience to you.
Of course it would be no inconvenience.
I appreciate your hospitality.
Of course.
I'm sure that no one at Collingwood will miss me, so it's perfectly all right for me to stay here, I think, isn't it?
Yes. I hope you find everything you need.
I'm sure that I will.
Good night.
Good night.
What are you doing up?
Well, I heard the storm. I thought I'd better check to see if everything's all right.
Well, everything is fine. I'll see that the doors and the windows are secure.
Barnabas?
What is it?
Has anybody been in the house tonight?
Why do you ask?
Because of something I found.
What?
This.
This wall?
Yeah. It looks like it belongs to a kid, but I'm pretty sure no kid could have gotten into the house. Every door and window was locked all day long.
Well, where did you find it?
In the basement, near the coffin.
The coffin? Willie, if you let young David sneak in here during the day...
There's no way he could have, Barnabas, I swear to you. The house has been locked up, tight as a drum, all day long.
Then where did this come from?
I don't know, Barnabas.
David had gotten into the house and gotten to that coffin. we would have heard about it by now.
Of course, he isn't the only kid who hangs around here.
What do you mean?
There's that little girl.
Little girl?
The one I told you about, the one who plays around here. But I don't see how she could have gotten in here either.
How old was that girl?
9, 10?
9, 10.
It was funny. Maggie Evans talked about seeing a little girl. I thought she was crazy.
She was.
Hey, maybe that ball was down there all the time and we never noticed it before.
Possibly. But I'd better go and take a look in the basement just the same.
Well, you want me to come with you?
No. I'll go alone. You stay here.
Well, what do you expect to find?
Nothing, but I'd better look anyway.
Barnabas?
What?
I keep having the strangest feeling.
What are you talking about?
I keep having a feeling that there's someone else in this house besides us.
Wait here.
Tell you I was staying here.
Well, no, he didn't.
Well, I stopped by to talk to him, and I got caught in a storm. And he was kind enough to let me stay in the house.
You're spending the night here in this house?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
In Josette's room.
Josette?
Willie, the strangest thing...
Miss Willis, do you really think it's a good idea for you to stay here?
A good idea?
I mean, would they be worried about you, the people at Collinwood?
No, I don't think so. I think they've all gone to sleep by now.
Now, you can't tell. And I know you don't want them to worry.
Oh, Willie, I don't want to go out in a storm like this, and it's not going to blow over until...
I got a coat you can wear. Now, I'll go home with you to make sure you get home through the woods all right, okay?
That's very nice of you, but it's not necessary.
You want to stay here?
To be quite honest with you, I like the idea of spending the night in Josette's room.
You do?
Yes. It's very comfortable. Anyway, I wouldn't drag anybody out in a storm like this.
Now, look, I wouldn't mind. I really wouldn't.
You surprised me, Willie.
Why?
You never used to be this thoughtful.
Miss Winnie.
Yes? What is it?
You're making a big mistake.
Why do you say that?
Yes, Willie. Why do you say that? Why is Miss Winters making a mistake?
Of course, people might get the wrong idea.
Because she's staying in this house tonight?
Yeah.
I'm sure that your concern is completely unwarranted.
Of course it is.
I'm sorry.
But Willie was kind enough to offer to take me back to Collinwood.
Was he?
I told him it wasn't necessary, but I appreciate his generosity.
Well, Willie's a very generous young man. Aren't you, Willie? Oh, come now, don't be modest. I dare say that you will someday be amply rewarded for your generosity. Well, what brings you downstairs, Miss Winters? The storm? Couldn't you sleep?
No, it wasn't that. A very strange thing happened.
What?
Well, I was sound asleep and a voice woke me. It was singing.
Singing?
Yes, it was a little girl.
A little girl?
I thought she was in my room. She kept singing the same song over and over again. London Bridge is falling down.
Impossible.
I know. When I lit the candle, there was nobody in the room. But I heard the singing distinctly.
It must have been your imagination.
I was wide awake. It was so real.
I assure you, there is no little girl in this house.
I suppose it was my imagination, but I don't know.
It must have been.
I guess so.
Are you frightened to return to Gisette's room?
Oh, no. I'm not afraid.
Are you sure?
Yes, I was just being silly. There's no reason at all why I shouldn't go back to that room.
Well, let me know if there's anything you need.
I will.
Good night.
Good night. Who is she, Barnabas, this little girl?
There is no little girl.
But Miss Wynne has heard her.
That was her imagination.
Well, she didn't imagine this. How did it get here, Barnabas, unless she left it here, whoever she is?
There is no little girl.
But Barnabas...
There is no little girl, you understand?
Yeah.
Wait. What were you saying to Miss Winters when I came into the room?
What?
Go on, what were you saying? Why don't you answer me? You were trying to warn her about me, weren't you?
No.
You were warning her about me. Yet, the truth. At last, you're telling me the truth.
You can kill me if you want to. But I didn't want you to harm her. She never did anything to deserve.
You know what would have happened to you if you had warned her. And you know what I should do to you now for even trying.
You're going to kill me?
No.
But what are you going to do?
Nothing.
Nothing. You mean you change your mind? You aren't going to punish me?
No. I want you to talk to me.
Talk.
Well, better still, don't talk, but stay here.
You like her, don't you? That's why you don't want to harm her. That's it, isn't it? Don't harm her, Barnabas. She never did anything to deserve
it. Be quiet, Willie.
You don't want to do it. I can tell you don't.
Please. Willie, the sound of your voice is irritating. Best you go to bed.
Barnabas.
Do as I say.
All right. And stay in bed for the rest of the night.
Thank you.
Dark Shadows is a Dan Curtis production.
A storm has broken suddenly over Collingwood, and sanctuary has been sought and found in the old house beyond the woods. But a deeper, safer sanctuary has also been found. The sanctuary of the past, far and safe from present threats, where even the landscape of dreams is free of thunder and of storms. And a serenity the present can never know pervades the gentle air, or so it seems.
I should make sure I gave you some breakfast or at least some coffee.
Thank you, Willie, but I've got to hurry. I didn't mean to sleep this late.
Did you sleep all right?
Beautifully.
I mean, nothing disturbed you during the night?
Of course not. What are you talking about?
Nothing.
Do you expect me to see ghosts?
No.
Well, I must say, I expected to, sleeping in Josette's room.
Well, I mean, you didn't see or hear anything?
No. Why do you keep asking?
No reason. I just wanted to make sure you had a good night.
I had a wonderful night. Willie, it's hard for me to believe that you're really this concerned.
I guess I'm not.
Well, then. Come to think of it.
Yeah?
For a moment, I did have a feeling as though someone were in the room.
What happened?
Nothing. I wasn't afraid. Of course, it was only a dream, that's why.
Yeah, sure.
Or was it?
What do you mean?
Willie, I know you've changed a lot, but...
You think it was me?
Was it?
Well, no, I swear I wasn't anywhere near that room.
Are you sure?
Oh, I wouldn't do anything like that. Well, I even offered to take you home last night, remember?
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't hurt you. You gotta believe that. I wouldn't want anyone to hurt you. Anyone. You gotta believe that, too. Now, you do believe it, don't you?
All right, Willie. I believe it. There's nothing to get so upset about. Nobody's gonna hurt me. As a matter of fact, when I was in Josette's room, I felt safer than I ever have in my life.
Yes, I know I said I'd see you this morning, but it's impossible.
May I ask why?
Well, I'd rather not discuss it. I'm disturbed, very disturbed.
Of course, if it's none of my business.
You must have heard the dreadful things that have been happening around Collinsport lately.
Oh, you mean about Maggie Evans?
Obviously, there's a madman on the loose.
Oh, has something new happened?
I don't know.
But you think maybe something has.
Miss Winters, the girl you met the other day, didn't sleep in her room last night. She seems to have disappeared.
You think that maniac...
Oh, no, that can't be it.
Good morning. Hello, Miss Hoffman.
Vicky, thank heavens. What happened?
Well, I was down in the old house when the storm broke, so I stayed there.
Oh, I've been half out of my mind with worry.
I'm terribly sorry. I meant to get back much before this.
But you're safe. That's all that matters.
Why wouldn't I be?
Vicky, you know there's a madman on the loose around here somewhere.
I guess I'd forgotten.
How could you? You know what happened to Maggie Evans.
I don't know how I could have forgotten, and I'm very sorry that I frightened you. But you have to admit that I was a lot safer down there with Mr. Collins to protect me than if I tried to get back here in the storm.
Oh, yes, of course. If I'd known you were with Barnabas, I wouldn't have worried at all.
But with no phone, there was no way of reaching you. I truly am sorry.
Oh, it's all right. And thank heavens you were with Barnabas. I'd like to cooperate, Miss Hoffman, but I'm really a very busy woman.
Well, it wouldn't take any of your time.
And if you needed any help, perhaps I could...
I'm sorry, but it's out of the question.
Mrs. Stoddard, may I speak frankly?
If you're hoping to change my mind, I'm afraid it's of no use.
I'm sure there's a lot in the Collins family history that you'd prefer remain private.
Well, isn't that almost true of any family?
Of course. But most families can escape continuing attention. The Collins family cannot.
Well, whether we can or can't, it's hardly something I want to encourage.
Well, it's something you can neither encourage nor discourage. The public's interested. More than that, they're fascinated.
Why can't they just leave us alone?
Because it's the Collins family. They're going to create legends and myths.
Well, then let them. But I'm not going to supply the material.
Be doing exactly the opposite if you let me work on my history.
I don't understand.
If people knew the truth, then they wouldn't make up their own versions of it.
Exactly.
I just don't believe in going over the past.
But there's so much in the past that's beautiful. It's not all ugliness and tragedy.
Like the
story of Josette. Now, all that people know about her is the part about her death. But there's much more to it than that, so much more. She was a great lady, and people should know that.
Miss Winters is right.
And I'm sure there are other stories, too.
Don't forget, Mrs. Stoddard, this won't affect any living members of the family. My research ends with the last century.
Well, I really don't know.
Please, Mrs. Stoddard, it could be so exciting.
If I can persuade both you and Mr. Collins to cooperate...
You'll find that my brother has very little interest in the matter.
Oh, I don't mean your brother. I meant your cousin, Barnabas Collins.
Miss Hoffman, I mentioned it to him.
Oh? And what did he say?
Well, he's not as enthusiastic as I thought he'd be.
Because he feels the same way I do. The family history is nobody's business but our own.
If that is the way he feels, I hope I can change his mind, as I hope I can change yours.
Yes, you must talk to him.
I intend to. I thought I'd go as soon as I left here.
Well, he's gone away for the day, but Willie said he'd be back tonight. You could see him then.
Mr. Collins can go operate if he wants to, but you'll have to forgive me if my decision is final.
But Mrs. Stone...
I'm sorry, Vicky. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'm really very busy.
I understand.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I was so sure that she'd say yes.
Maybe she still will.
I doubt it.
Maybe you could talk to her.
I already have.
Maybe you could talk to her again.
Well,
I know everyone who specializes in something always thinks his or her work is of world-shattering importance. I can't help it in this case. I think my work, my research is important. Very, very important. You had an interest in the past. Help me. Talk to Mrs. Stoddard. We'll try to persuade her.
I don't know if I can.
Try. And remember, it's just possible my work may be as important as I think it is.
Family history that important?
It is to me. Who can tell? Maybe just as important someday to someone else. Maybe even more so.
I don't understand.
I suppose I'm exaggerating. But then again, maybe I'm not.
But Vicky, I don't know why this is so important to you.
I don't know really why it is either. But the past is something that you've always thought of as ugly, something that should be kept secret. I think it's beautiful, and I think it should be shared.
Aren't you being romantic again?
Perhaps I am. Last night, when I stayed in Josette's room, it was like actually entering into the past. And everything was so peaceful and so calm and so quiet. So wonderfully quiet.
Well, you know, that's hardly true of Josette.
Yes. Mrs. Stoddard, why am I getting so caught up in all this?
Of course, you realize that if Miss Hoffman does do the research on the family history, it would all be very detached, unromantic.
Yes, I know that.
Maybe that's exactly what you need.
What do you mean?
Well, you've been letting yourself be carried away lately by the romance of what's past. Maybe it would do you good to look at it in a very cold and objective way.
Do you mean that you're thinking about changing your mind?
Maybe you should find out for yourself just how unromantic it really was.
I'd never think that. But I'd love to work with Miss Hoffman.
All right, then. Why don't you?
Do you mean it?
Tell Miss Hoffman she has my permission to go ahead, and I will cooperate after all.
Oh, thank you.
I'm doing this for you, Vicky. I'm not so sure you're going to thank me when it's all over.
Why wouldn't I?
Well, up until now, the past has been sort of a dream for you. Now it might become a reality, killing the dream. Has anyone ever thanked anyone for the death of a dream?
Oh, I thought I'd let you know the other day when you came with Miss Winters that visitors aren't welcome.
I'm not a visitor, and I'm not interested in being welcome. I came to see Mr. Collins.
You can't.
Why not?
He doesn't want to see you.
Then I prefer that he tell me himself.
He can't. He isn't here.
Then I'll wait.
He won't be back for a long time.
Just how long, precisely?
I don't know.
I'm in no hurry.
You can't stay here.
Mr. Collins has done a remarkable job with this house. He must have made a very thorough study of the period to know so many details.
Oh, please, Mr. Collins won't like it when he finds you here.
Miss Winters tells me that you did a good deal of the work. Did Mr. Collins refer to any drawings of the house?
No.
Then what were his references? They must have been very exact.
What do you want to know for?
I told you I'm interested in the history. This house is part of it.
Well, he had old pictures.
I thought you said he didn't.
He did.
There was no need to lie. If there was, I can't imagine. But the reason could be. I only wanted to know where Mr. Collins could learn so much about the original condition of the house. It's almost as though he had seen it at the time. trustworthy person. You don't have to wait with me. I won't walk off with anything.
I have strict orders from Mr. Collins that no strangers are allowed in here.
I'll explain to Mr. Collins that I'm responsible. Please, please, try not to be so nervous.
I'm not nervous.
You look absolutely terrified. Is Mr. Collins really that difficult?
Will you stop asking questions?
Well, if he is so difficult, why do you work for him?
Perhaps because he wants to. Or perhaps I'm not difficult at all. I told her no visitors were allowed. Not rudely, I hope. You must be Miss Hoffman.
Yes, how do you do?
That will be all, Willie, thank you.
Oh, I promised him I'd take full blame for being here. Visitors apparently make him very anxious.
You must forgive Willie. He's a very strange man. But I found him to be a loyal and valuable servant.
You know, of course, why I'm here.
According to Miss Winters, you're doing research on my family and would like access to my library.
Yes, and to any personal knowledge that you might have, if you don't mind.
Well, it isn't a matter of minding, Miss Hoffman. And I certainly feel that your project is extremely interesting.
Oh, then I can count on your cooperation.
I'm afraid not.
Oh? If you think it's interesting.
But my opinion in this case does not affect my decision. And my decision is no.
May I ask why?
If you like. But I don't feel particularly obliged to give you an answer.
I see.
But I do thank you for your interest in my family.
Now, you, of course, are from England.
Well, I see you've been told my history.
Oh, very slightly. But I would like to
Please,
know...
Miss Hoffman, I'd prefer not encouraging you any further by answering even your slightest question. I don't mean to sound abrupt, but it would be senseless for me to start something that I have no intention of continuing.
I understand, but perhaps you'll change your mind.
I assure you I will not.
But a man with your interest in the past, surely...
prefers to keep his interest to himself.
You didn't let me finish. I have done some research of my own. I might know something about your family that you might find extremely informative.
I doubt it.
How can you be so sure?
Well, I can't, but I can be disinterested.
About your family history? Oh, no one who lives in this house could be disinterested.
Well, perhaps then my disinterest is limited to what you might contribute.
Are you sure it would be so negligible?
Not necessarily. But the price I would have to pay is too high.
Be a fair exchange. Is that too high a price?
Oh, come now, Miss Hoffman. That's not possibly fair. Whatever you may know, I certainly know much more than you do.
Do you? Well, let me know if you change your mind. You might find it extremely interesting. Goodbye, Mr. Collins. I hope I'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Dark Shadows is a Dan Curtis production.
The great estate of Collinwood rests on cliffs high above the sea, and on a quiet afternoon such as this, a familiar sound is the pounding of the surf, waves crashing against sand, only to return to the sea from which they came. There is a sense of timelessness here, for the sea is eternal, as human lives are not. But there are moments when a sense of timelessness can pervade a human mind, moments when the past seems to intermingle with the present. There is one who knows such a moment, not realizing that it represents an imminent threat, the approach of a violent and terrifying danger.
David, what did you say?
What's the matter with you?
What do you mean?
Well, you were just standing here, looking out at the ocean. You didn't hear anything I said.
I guess I was daydreaming.
What about?
I'm not really sure.
You've been doing that a lot lately.
Have I? Yes, I guess I have. Well, that's a very bad habit. I should break it.
You know something, Miss Winters?
What's that?
I looked at you when you were daydreaming. And I got a funny feeling.
What kind of a feeling?
Well, a feeling that you weren't you when you're like that. That you were somebody else.
Somebody else?
That's the only way I can explain it. Like you were somebody else. Somebody else that was strange. And it frightened me.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I frighten you?
Well, it's just that you look so strange. There's something scary about it.
Well, listen, I know that you like to imagine scary things. And you have a very active imagination, but you mustn't let it run away with you.
I'm not.
Then you're trying to frighten me, and that won't work.
Miss Wither?
Oh, Miss Hoffman. You remember David.
Hello, Dave.
Hello. Miss Hoffman's going to be staying here for a while.
Here? Why?
Well, you know she's doing a history of the Collins family, and she's got to do some research.
I can tell you about my ancestors. I know all about them.
We must have a good long talk one day.
Okay.
Were you looking for anything?
Well, yes, I understand there are some privately printed histories of the Collins family. I wondered if I might see one.
Of course, they're in the library. I'll get them for you.
Thank you.
Are you really doing a history of our family?
I really am.
About all of us? Even me?
Well, you'll be included, but mostly it's about your ancestors.
Which ones?
Well, Jeremiah Collins, Joshua Collins, Barnabas Collins, of course.
Would you like to see some more pictures of them?
I think I've seen all the portraits of them.
Oh, no. I mean our family album. Would you like to look at it?
Yes, I would.
Forget it.
Thank you. Oh, that's very interesting.
That's Joshua Collins.
Oh, yes. The original Barnabas Collins' father.
Oh, and that's David Collins. I was named after him.
Who's that?
Oh, that's Naomi Collins.
Oh, Barnabas Collins' mother.
That's right.
She's lovely. And Barnabas Collins?
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Collins.
Wait, let me see that. Let me see it.
Why?
I've never seen it before.
The picture of Sarah Collins?
No. I never even heard of her. But I know all about my ancestors.
Oh, well, she died when she was still a child. That's probably why you've never heard of her.
It's funny.
What is?
She looks just like a kid who hangs around here.
Oh?
Yeah, I play with the girls sometimes.
You do?
Up near the old house.
The old house? Oh, yes, where Barnabas Collins lives.
Yes, that's right. Mm. She must like to play there an awful lot, because that's the only place I've ever seen her.
Mm. It's curious that she should look so much like the girl in the portrait. Mm.
You know, it's funny. You want to know something else that's really funny?
What?
The girl I play with. Well, her name is Sarah, too.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Isn't that funny?
Yes, it is a strange coincidence. Very strange.
Do you suppose she's a ghost?
Who?
Sarah.
I doubt it very much.
There are ghosts around here.
Yes, I've heard the legends.
They aren't legends, they're real. Do you believe in ghosts?
David, don't start that again.
We were just talking.
About your favorite subject, and I'm sure Miss Hoffman isn't interested.
No, quite the contrary. I was very interested.
Well, I wish you were as interested in your homework as you are in ghosts.
Do I have to do homework anymore today? Can't I go out and play?
All right, but I want you back by dark.
Okay.
Here are the books you wanted.
Oh, thank you.
I hope that David's not being too much of a pest.
Oh, not at all. In fact, he was quite helpful. He was showing me portraits of his ancestors.
Oh, I'll bet he was. Next to ghosts, his ancestors are his favorite subject.
We were just looking at the portrait of Sarah Collins.
That's very strange.
What is?
She looks exactly like a sketch I saw once.
But it's Sarah Collins, but... the original Barnabas Collins.
It was a sketch that the police brought around after Maggie Evans died, but you wouldn't know anything about that.
No.
She was a local girl that was kidnapped by a madman. The sheriff thought that the little girl might be some clue to the kidnapper, and so they brought a sketch of her up here and showed it to Mrs. Stoddard and me. Mm. Neither of us had ever seen her before.
I see.
Very, very strange that she should look so much like this portrait.
Yes.
Well, you'll have to excuse me. I've got to get ready. I have a date.
Miss Winters, I wonder if you mind answering one question before you go.
Of course not. What is it?
You were here when they were restoring the old house, weren't you?
Yes, I was very interested in the restoration.
Do you know that if it's authentic to all details?
Well, as far as I know, it is.
Because I saw an engraving once, and there were mirrors in the drawing room. Huge gilt mirrors. And when I was at the old house yesterday, I don't remember seeing them. I wonder what happened to them.
I don't know. I don't remember seeing any mirrors either.
Oh? Well, maybe they were put into another room.
No, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I don't remember seeing any mirrors anywhere in that house, except for the little one in Josette's room.
I see. Well, maybe they've been lost.
Perhaps so.
Another question. Do you suppose Mrs. Stoddard would mind if I borrowed her album?
No, I don't think she would.
I'd like to show it to Mr. Collins. I think he might be interested in portraits of his ancestors.
But I thought Mr. Collins wasn't interested in helping you with your research.
No, he wasn't interested in the book, but I think he'll be fascinated with the portraits.
I hope that he changes his mind and does decide to help you.
Whether he does or not, I have a feeling this visit will be very interesting.
Julia Hoffman? I never heard of her.
Neither have I, but I'm sure she's a very good writer. She's really intelligent.
But why does she want to do a history on the Collins family?
Because they're one of the oldest families in America. I think it's a very exciting project.
Vicky, I wish you weren't involved in it.
Why?
Because I think you're getting too involved in the past.
Burke, I'm interested in the past. I think everybody can learn something from history.
All right. Be interested in history, but not in the history of the Collins family. Not in history that includes ghosts and hobgoblins. It worries me.
Well, you have nothing to worry about.
I think I have. Josette's become a reality to you. And the other night at the old house, you thought you saw a little girl standing at the top of the stairs.
All right. But I admitted that was my imagination. And that's all there was to it. I suppose it was because of the house and the seance and 100 other things.
Well, then, why feed your imagination by getting involved in the past of the Collins family? I don't know. It's always affected you before. I'd hate to see it again.
Burke, it did happen again.
What?
The other night, I woke up, and I heard a voice coming out of the dark. A little girl's voice.
A little girl?
She was singing. And I know it was real, because I was wide awake. I know that. But when I lit a candle, the room was empty. I don't know what's the matter with me, Burke.
You're just too wrapped up in the legends of Collinwood.
Maybe. Why would I hear a little girl's voice? Why?
I don't know.
Maybe it was spending the night in that room.
What room?
Josette's room.
You spent the night in Josette's room? In the old house? With Willie and Barnabas there?
I had to. It was the night that storm broke, and I had no way of getting back to Collinwood.
I have a feeling you'd have been safer in the storm.
Oh, Burke. Mr. Collins is a perfect gentleman, and Willie wouldn't hurt me.
Vicky, I want you to promise me something.
What?
I want you to promise me you'll never go there again.
Never go to the old house again?
Yes.
I can't promise you that.
Why not?
I just can't, that's all.
What is this fascination you've got for the old house?
I just like going there.
What do you like about it?
I don't know. Maybe it's... because I feel safe.
Safe?
Uh-huh. Safe and secure. As though I belong there. I don't know why I feel that way. But I do. And I'm not going to stop going there, Burke, and that's final.
Vicky, I don't know what's happening to you, but... I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Hello?
Evening, Mr. Collins.
Miss Hoffman. Well, I didn't expect to see you so soon again.
I wonder if I might speak to you for a moment.
Well, I don't want to sound rude, but I can't imagine what we have to discuss.
Well, I'm not here to get information from you. I want to show you something.
But what is it?
Well, it's a family album with some portraits of your ancestors I thought you might be interested in seeing.
Why?
Well, I actually had hoped that you would tell me something about them, something I didn't already know.
You're very persistent, Miss Hoffman. I have nothing to tell you.
Then I've made the trip in vain. But since I have made the trip, why don't you let me show you them to you anyway?
Come in. But I can only give you a few minutes of my time.
That'll be fine.
I assume that's the book you're talking about.
Yes. Now, here is a portrait of the original Barnabas Collins, your namesake.
So I see.
I must say the resemblance is remarkable.
It's often commented on.
And this is his mother, Naomi. Isn't she lovely?
Yes.
And on the next page, you'll find a portrait of Joshua, the father of Barnabas.
I recognize him from other portraits.
And on the next page is Sarah Collins, the sister of Barnabas.
Oh?
She's on the next page. Why don't you turn the page? She's a lovely child, isn't she?
Yes.
Look at her eyes. They're very much like yours.
Do you think so?
And her features. You really do look very much alike.
What are you doing?
Even historians have a certain amount of feminine vanity. I was just checking my makeup.
Well, I've looked at your portraits, Miss Hoffman. Is that what you wanted?
Yes, I'm sorry that you weren't very interested.
Well, I'm afraid your assumption is correct.
Then I won't take up any more of your time. Thank you very much, Mr. Collins, and good evening.
Good evening, Miss Hoffman.
Did you see Mr. Collins?
Yes. Yes, it was a very successful visit.
Was it?
Yes, I learned a great deal this evening.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yes, in fact, I think I've learned everything. Everything I needed to know.
Thank you.
Dark Shadows is a Dan Curtis production.
There are those who watch in the night. They move about unseen, covered by the mantle of darkness. Some who are watched never become aware of it. But others, who are more sensitive, can feel the burning eyes upon them.
Going on out there. Don't I know it? I heard your music box playing. It makes me feel better. I wish I had something to make me feel better. I just can't seem to go to sleep. Darling, before you came in, I was looking out the window. I thought I saw someone out there. Oh, but you don't tell me that. Look! Over there! Doesn't it look like someone's standing behind that tree? It seems as though there's someone standing behind every tree out there tonight. Watching, waiting. Someone feels worse than ever. I'm sorry. I'm just so sure that I saw someone standing there. And waking up in the morning to see the sunshine. What a wonderful idea. Let me know if it works.
Carolyn,
I'll sit up if you'd really like me to.
No, I'm all right.
You just call me Miss Jitters of 1967. I'll see you in the morning.
Good night.
Good night.
light. What happened? The lights don't work.
Oh, a power failure again. I was sitting there trying to read, and suddenly the lights went out. And imagine how I feel now.
I was asleep.
Well, then I did wake you.
No. It was the music box. It was playing.
Well, you were listening to it before. You must have fallen asleep.
No. I know that I shut it.
Somehow it started playing again. Perhaps the top popped open.
There's nothing wrong with the catch.
See? Carolyn, I don't understand it. Carolyn, I have the feeling that something was here. Something was here in this room with me. Now, I have the feeling that I was in some kind of danger. That something intervened.
Have a good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian Serafic Panopoli and Stevie Farnaby.